if my kids have to go to college to learn how to make a living, I failed as a parent. Today we talked to Kip Hale. Kip owns his own plumbing business and is incredibly successful. But we go back to where as a kid he was made fun of because his dad was a plumber. And then the journey of being in the military and then transitioning through owning his own business, failing miserably and having to file bankruptcy, to going and working for somebody for 12 bucks an hour as a grown man with three kids. And then the journey along to where the last 10 or 12 years, they're going to be taking over $7 million and they do zero advertising. You're going to absolutely love this conversation that I had with Kip Hale. Kip, thanks so much for joining me today. So just let everybody know that Kip and I are kind of related, I guess. So Kip and my wife, Jackie, are cousins. So I've known Kip for a while. The hard part about doing some of these things is I know you, but then again, I don't know the intricate. I know you as family. Like, I know you and Hunter and Courtney and the kid and the boys and all that stuff, but I don't really know, like, the intricacies of who you are as, like, a business owner, and that's really the focus of what we're talking about today. So let's just open up. Same question I always ask. Who are you? What do you do? And why does it matter?
Gotcha. Well, my name's Kip Hale, and I'm the owner of Capstone Plumbing. We do plumbing. Right now, we are a residential-based company. We do a lot of new construction. Kind of our that's where we got started. But, you know, we are now growing into a service company and doing commercial plumbing.
Okay, so where you grew up where? Where did you guys – where did you go to high school?
I went to Pelham High School.
So right here in Birmingham, grew up, owns a plumbing company, and you're 40. How old are you?
I just turned 50.
Just turned 50. I do remember that. Okay. Yep. So just turned 50. Tell me about how growing up. Tell me about what it was like growing up, where you grew up, your folks, all that kind of stuff. Give me a background there.
Well – honestly, with I grew up, my dad's a plumber, my granddad's a plumber, so kind of that's kind of what we know.
Yeah.
And grew up in Pelham, where, and be honest with you, being a plumber wasn't very fun.
Sure.
Got made fun of all the time, you know.
The kids made fun of you for your dad being a plumber?
Oh, yeah. They you know, butt crack plumber, this, that, and the other, all the time. So it wasn't really something that I tried to hide it for a while,
yeah.
You know, as a kid, and then went off to the military.
Okay.
Went to the Marine. When I didn't get the football scholarship, which, you know, at 5'8", you're not going to get one, I got mad at the world and joined the Marine Corps and did 4 years in the Marine Corps.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yep, yeah. Sure did. I can remember, and honestly, I can remember being on a boat, coming back across the Atlantic, and it took about 2 weeks, and I had fire watch, I think a week
straight.
Whoa.
Let's go back, because I have zero concept of the military.
Uh-huh.
You just said, on a boat, coming back for 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
So you're on a boat freaking 2 weeks.
No, I was on a boat for 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But so a two-week span of being in the water without getting off the boat. So that's about what it takes to get across from the United States to Spain.
Okay.
Which is our port that we stop at.
Yeah.
I mean, could they do it faster? I think we did like 14 knots, something like that.
Yeah.
Big boat.
Huge boat.
You know.
How many people on the boat?
There were 4,000 on my boat.
Holy moly.
So, well, actually, we changed boats on the way back because the Marines always get messed up.
Yeah.
And I was on a boat with about 1,000 people, and it was a little boat. And at night, you were rocking.
Because
like
it was so small.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so let's go back a little farther, though. So, growing up here in Birmingham, Dad was a plumber.
Yes, sir.
So when you were growing up, when someone would say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Whether it be in grade school or in high school or whatever, because you get those questions from the time you're 5 or 6 to the mm-hmm. time you're in high school. Like, I know there's people that ask Hunter, Kip's got a kid that's 18 years old going to Jacksonville State to play football.
Actually UAB.
UAB. Switched. Oh, perfect. Sweet. I'm proud of that. Yep. So he's going to college. I know people are going to ask him, what do you want? What did you say when people said, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I really can't answer that. I didn't have a plan.
Okay.
That's probably why I ended up in the military.
Sure.
When football, you know, when football didn't work out, which is something I'm on Hunter about really bad now. Football didn't work out, didn't have a plan, so I went in the military.
Okay, so tell me about your dad, Uncle Freddie, mm-hmm. what we call him, and growing up there with him, he was a plumber. Did he own his own business, or was he an employee for another company? Tell me about that.
He did. When I was in high school, he owned his own business.
Okay.
When I was a kid, he worked for other people and did side jobs on
sure.
the weekend.
Sure.
So, that's where I got my start as an eight-year-old, helping my dad out. You know,
when he was an employee?
Yeah. Oh, well, he would do side work.
Okay, so when you say side work, so did he go to school to be a plumber, like a trade school or anything like that, or he just kind of learned it on the job? How did he come about? What's his story?
I think he learned a little from my dad, and then he got a job out of high school. Well, when he got out of the Army, he got a job with Leeds Waterworks.
Okay.
And that's kind of where he got his start.
So he goes from just working for somebody, then doing side work, and then mm-hmm. he owned his own business. Tell me about that. Do you remember anything about him owning his own business and how that happened? I know it's high school. And it's
it was probably some of it was me pushing him too.
Really?
He probably wouldn't agree with that, but we always talked about, Dad, you need to go into your own business.
Yeah.
Because everyone would always talk about how good a plumber he was or whatever. Mm. So he did that for the whole time I was in high school. He had his own business, but he never was able to grow it.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know. You know why he? First of all, he had some bad people in his life.
Sure.
And he had. I hate to say this.
Yeah, that's
in
fine.
Public, but he had a wife that was stealing from him.
Mm.
And just kind of got to the point where, you know, every time he would go two steps forward, he'd go three steps back.
Mm, yeah.
So, eventually they got a divorce and he had to close that business and go back to work for somebody.
Really? So he owned his own business,
mm-hmm.
found out his wife was stealing from him, they obviously got divorced, mm-hmm. and he had to, in essence, it kind of bankrupt him.
Yep.
And then he had to go back working for somebody else. After that, did he ever go back to working for own his own deal again?
Just partners with me.
Okay. So tell me about, you go to high school, play football, didn't get to go to college to play football, go into the military. Did you ever go to college any point after that?
Yeah. So when I got back from, I told you while I was in the, when I was in the, on the Navy ship that I was dreaming about being in business. Well, I got back and I worked about a week. And with my dad, and hated it. And so from there, all right, I'm going to school.
Okay.
I enrolled at Jeff State, started taking classes.
Yeah.
I think I passed the first semester, and then I met a girl.
I think I passed the first semester.
I think.
I said most college kids everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, ended up down at Alabama chasing a girl.
Yep.
And spent 3 years down there.
Sure.
And didn't get anywhere.
Really?
You know, man, I was a 24-year-old freshman, you know.
That's right.
I mean.
You can buy beer for everybody.
That's right. And I was a bartender.
That's right. Perfect.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Didn't get very far and ended up back with my dad. Ended up back in Birmingham, dumped by my girlfriend.
Okay.
And nowhere to live. I had an apartment, no way to pay for it.
Yeah.
And called my dad. Last person in the world I wanted to call.
Sure.
Can I get a job?
Yeah.
And I had to face the fact that I got to be a plumber now.
So to you, a plumber was a negative thing.
Very.
Like you were settling to be a plumber.
Very, very much.
Why is that?
I think it was the time that I grew up.
Sure.
It was pushed into everybody's head that you've got to go to college or you will not be successful.
Okay, let's talk through that for a second. Do you agree with that now?
No.
You've got three kids.
No.
You got three boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One is a senior, fixing to graduate and go play ball, go to UAB. It's amazing. I know it makes you so super proud.
Right.
It's been a lot of hard work. Then you got the two boys, and they're how old?
They are 14.
14 twins. I have had the thought, let me say this, there's a guy. His name's Barry Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Barry played college soccer at Abilene Christian. Barry is extremely successful now. So he, I remember we were sitting in my kitchen, my first kitchen that was mine, it's 441 square feet, and Barry owned a tire company. Mm-hmm. He sold software and tires all over the country.
That's right.
Okay. And he looked at me and said, if my kids have to go to college to learn how to make a living, I failed as a parent.
That's right.
And I will say this, and I will credit this to him for as long as I live. I will never forget that.
Yeah.
And it's changed the lens by which I parent these days, because I wanted to prepare my kids now that if they want to go to college, great. Because I think that college is a great landing strip for learning.
That's
I
right.
think it's something you transition from high school into college and then on. Because here's the thing. Physically, our brains are not developed enough at 18, 19 years old. And so there needs to be a time of growth. And honestly, college is a spot where you can screw it up and it still be okay.
That's right.
You obviously proved that going to college 3 years, not really getting anywhere. So
yeah.
you come home, you start working for your dad. You deem yourself not as a failure, but just not as successful at this point. 25, 26, yeah. 27 years old, and you're like, oh, crap, what am I going to do?
Well, so, actually, my dad was working for somebody, and I was working for the same company.
Okay.
So it wasn't even as good as being, like, there was nothing except for you're working for a plumbing company, and you're making $9 an hour.
Oh, Lord. So tell me about that. So you go home, go start working for this plumbing company with your dad.
That's right. And did really well.
What does that mean, did really well?
Well, most people when they go into plumbing, it takes five or six years before they can really do their job.
Yeah.
I was really skilled at running a backhoe, and so I was an apprentice running a truck, pulling a backhoe, doing dig jobs, within the first year.
Do you accredit that being a plumber's kid growing up?
Yeah, my dad taught me how to run the backhoe when I was like 14.
I love
it. I stood in the ditches and watched him dig. And
yeah.
So by mentally watching the technique that he used, when I got on it, it was like, okay, I just need to learn how the controls work.
Sure.
I already know how to dig.
Mm,
so
that's good.
That really helped me a lot. So we worked there. I guess I worked there 2 or 3 years.
Okay. You working with your dad for another company
mm-hmm.
for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Right, what then?
So they started to have problems. And I had developed relationships with all the builders because I worked for them.
Okay, you told me this 2 weeks ago, and I didn't understand the difference, but I do now. So there's two different types of plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
The plumbers that you call if your toilet stopped up, the sink stopped up,
that's
or
right.
there's a problem at your home, and it's called service plumbing.
That's right.
But then you have the other type of plumbing that's more of contract plumbing, where you contract with a builder, and you run all the pipe, and you run all those things.
That's right.
Totally different animals.
That's right.
For a long time now, you guys have not done the service portion.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right.
So what were y'all doing when you were working for this guy?
We were doing contract plumbing.
Contract plumbing. So you're installing things.
That's
you're
right.
not going to Miss Smith's house and fixing toilets.
That's right.
Okay. So tell me, so they started having problems, and you had made relationships with all the people, the contract people.
That's right. And so I dream big.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
I knew my dad had a really good talent, was known to be one of the best plumbers in the Birmingham area. And so I just kind of started talking to my dad. It's like, hey, let's go in business. You got a master plumbing card. I know I'm only apprentice, but going back to college, I learned everything I needed to learn in the first year or two, counting 101. I learned everything, after that, I didn't need any more accounting, for what I do in business.
Sure.
Because I'm not going to do taxes. I'm going to hire an accountant.
Correct.
But all I need to know is how to do credits and debits and understand how to read a P&L. I learned all that.
Go back. Say that again. Say that loud.
Understand.
What is one of the most important things you in business is what?
Learn how to read a profit and loss statement.
Learning how to read a P&L.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there, listen, and you want to go into business, you need to Google, YouTube, whatever, learn how to read a P&L. Cody Sanchez talks about that all the time, is just understanding how to read that. I know there's a guy that I listen to, Sam Parr. He sold a company called The Hustle for millions of dollars, and he said when he was getting ready to sell that company, he had no idea how to read a P&L.
Yep.
He just knew how to manufacture funds.
That's right.
And I think he made $20 million off that thing, and he was like learning that process while he was selling.
That's right.
So learn how to do a P&L. So you took accounting, these really simple accounting classes in college,
yep.
and you said, hey, Dad, we can do this thing.
Yep. pretty much. And I didn't do a good job the first time. So I've had two businesses.
Okay.
And so we started that in 2003.
Okay.
And 2008, the market crashed.
Mm.
So you can imagine a 30-year-old bringing in, you know, sometimes $500,000 a month.
Wow.
And not knowing how to manage that. And then the market crashes and you're bringing in $20,000 a month.
Mm.
There's a big difference when you have $450,000 a month in payments that you owe.
Wow.
So learned a lot of lessons from that, by the way. Learned how to read a P&L statement really well.
Sure.
Because I didn't know. I was running a business. Everything was good. The market was good. The houses were coming. It was every day. You're getting a check. You go to work, get a check. Go to work, get a check. Go to work, get a check. Pay your bill.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden, I mean, I'm talking like in 1 month, it went from, you know, $500,000 a month to 40. Let me back up. Maybe it went to 150 in a month, and then the next month it was 40,000, and it stayed there for 6 months, a year. And you can imagine if you're not prepared for that, what it would do to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that you were running good books? Meaning, you think you were being wise with the money that was coming in, or were you just living from job to job?
Job.
Really?
Yep.
Had to have the next one to make the payroll. Had to have the next one to pay the bills.
I had to have my check on Friday to make payroll.
Tell me about how this is another thing that I think people don't understand, especially in sales. How did you learn how to quote jobs? How did you learn that?
That's so funny. I didn't. You know,
really?
I mean, it was just like word of mouth, a guess at first. I mean, really unprofessional, really crazy how I got where I'm at now. If we're talking, if you say it out loud, it's crazy. But I got there.
Sure.
And
so you had no clue how to quote jobs.
I didn't.
Freddie's his dad. Did Freddie not teach you how to do that?
He didn't really know either. He knew how to do some commercial quotes, and we were just going off of what the builders were telling us they would pay. Really.
Really.
Yeah. You know, and that was a mistake.
Yeah.
But it was fine at the time.
Okay.
If I would have, even with that, that was a big mistake. If I would have managed my money and had a plan, I wouldn't have had to go through what I had to go through in 2011. And everything would have been fine.
Okay. Let's go back. Started in 2003. In 2003, did you guys own your own business?
Yes.
Okay. In 2008, you took a huge dip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. What happened in 2011?
Well, I held on.
You did hold on?
Yeah. I didn't go bankrupt. Now, I went $500,000 in debt, and I continued to grow debt for 3 or 4 years. So, finally.
To go back, tell me about that. How did you... When you say I went $500,000 in debt and you continued to grow debt, what was that process like?
It was basically, you know, like most of my debt was supply house, plumbing supplies. And slowly but surely we lost vehicles because we couldn't pay for them because we had like 25 trucks, you know.
You had 25 trucks?
Yeah.
Only owning your business for 5 years?
Yeah.
So you would have money come in, you'd go buy trucks?
Yeah. I had an account. So this is crazy. I had an account. This is when money was real easy, too. I had an account with GMC, and I didn't even, you know, they pull my credit once a year and check. But, you know, I would just call up to the dealership and say, hey, I like that truck. Can you get it ready for me? And I would go pick it up. That's pretty dangerous, by the way, when you're 30 years old. And you grew up driving the worst car in school, and now all of a sudden you got an endless amount of credit and availability. That was pretty dangerous.
So you go in 2008 and you start building this debt. So you start supply house debt.
Yep.
Tell me what happened in 2009. How did you hang on? How did you hang on from 2008 to 2011?
Relationships and deals.
That's great.
You know, talking with these guys, these business owners, and they were really making money off of me anyway. Mm-hmm. And they would hold, you know, I would stay 60 days, 90 days in debt with them. And it went on for a long time.
Yeah,
really. It really did. It got really hard to even go to work because, I mean, I was just working to pay them.
Wow.
And they could shut me down at any moment.
Any moment they wanted to.
Yep.
I think this goes back to the question and the thing we talk about a lot here. And I had a 45-minute conversation with a guy last night mm-hmm. about the power of relationships and how, you know, from 2003 to 2008, you did a good job. And these guys liked you.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you did a good job, they liked you as a human, whatever. You made a good relationship. And then those guys worked with you
mm-hmm.
through the hard times.
And then I messed them up. You know, I ended up filing bankruptcy.
So in 2011, what happened?
I had to file bankruptcy.
Okay, what does that process look like? What? Tell me. I don't understand that.
The worst process I ever did in my life.
Really?
I had to go. I still had. I probably had 18 employees at the time, and I just gave up. I really made an emotional decision.
Yeah.
I will say this: whenever you get into that position, go talk to the people you work for. Go talk to your support. Go talk to people.
Yeah.
Don't just make an emotional decision.
Why?
Go tell the people. Go tell the biggest person that I work for that was my source of income. I should have went to him and said, "Hey man, I'm in bad trouble.
Yeah.
I need to get paid weekly instead of every 3 weeks. You know, I need this. I need that." Come to find out, he would have worked with me.
Sure.
Because even though I was in debt, we had a really good business as far as what we provided.
You provided a great service.
Right. So I should have tried to talk my way out of it more. But I'll be honest with you, when it goes on for 6 years, 5 years, whatever it was,
yeah.
Mentally I was just beat down.
Done.
I was beat down, did not, just done.
So in 2011 you filed bankruptcy.
That's
what,
right.
What happens from there?
So we lost our house.
Really?
Yeah. We were able to...
2011, do you have kids at the time?
Yes, I have all three kids.
Had all three kids.
Yeah, the twins were about a year old.
Now, Courtney's his wife. Courtney's wonderful. One of the most fun-loving, just genuine, nice ladies you'll ever meet. Love mm-hmm. Courtney. So was she working with you in the business at the time?
She was.
Okay, so it's a family affair. So there's not, like, she's not having a second income.
Both of us filed bankruptcy.
So y'all filed bankruptcy in 2011, mm-hmm. lost your house. What did you do when you lost your house?
We rented a house in Helena.
Okay.
And got lucky. We found a four-bedroom house. It was a split-level house, very nice in a very nice neighborhood, and for really cheap rent.
Yeah.
A guy moved to, like, Europe, and he just wanted to rent it, and he wanted to bless a family, and it was a blessing for us. You know, here I had three dogs, three kids, three cats.
It's crazy that the first thing you mentioned was the dogs.
Yeah, three dogs, three kids, three cats, you know, and I had to move out.
Okay, so you move out of the house.
Yep.
You file bankruptcy. What did you do from there? What did you start doing for money at this point?
My wife went to work for the builder that we did business with.
Okay.
So as soon as I went out of business, that person called a lot of people that worked for me because we did do a good job of everything we
right.
did. So she went to work for them.
Okay.
She made decent money. She
yeah.
made I'm not going to say the amount, but you know, it was a good income.
Yeah.
I didn't know where I was going to do.
Sure.
I was a little depressed. Took me a little bit. I actually went and worked to sell cars.
Okay.
That lasted about a month.
Really?
Then I was going to be a builder.
Okay.
And I didn't like building.
Yeah.
And then, so then I ended up, well, I knew no plumbing. I went to Ferguson Enterprises, and that was the only company that I didn't bankrupt on. So I felt like I could talk to them.
Yeah.
And so I went to them to get a job, and they're like, we're not hiring. And I'm like, well, you need some help in here. I went back the next day. I found out that somebody was going on vacation that worked the counter, so I went down there while they were busy, and I started putting up stock for them. I wasn't on payroll, and I started learning their codes.
So you're doing this for free?
Yeah, because I want this job.
They didn't have a job.
I know.
You just wanted to work there.
Mm-hmm. So the boss shows up one day, and he's like, who's that guy? He's like, why is Kip there? He didn't say, who's this guy? He's like, why?
Because he knew you.
Yeah, he knew me. What's he doing? And the manager says, he wants a job. And they gave me a job.
Wow.
$12 an hour.
Three kids.
Mm-hmm.
$12 an hour.
Yeah. I was bringing in $500,000 a month, but I wasn't, you know, that's not what I was taking home, but I was $12 an hour.
Wow. How long did you do that?
So I was probably the only employee in Ferguson history that was writing tickets within 3 days and running the counter. Because I had already memorized I already knew the plumbing products.
Sure.
I had memorized every code. All I had to do was learn how to punch it in the computer, and I learned it really, you know, like I took flashcards home. That's how I just had to have something positive.
So go back to this. You got, again, you're in your 30s, probably your 40s at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your 30s, late 30s. You've owned a business that's done $500,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you go home and do flashcards for a $12 an hour job.
That's all I had. And I did have it in mind, though. So at this time, I was never going to be a plumber again.
Okay.
Plumbing business ruined me. I was never going to do it. So I'm going to be an outside salesman. You know, that's what I'm going to do. Those guys make $100,000 plus, if they're good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I went out for.
Yeah.
So, and about 8 months, I was an outside salesman.
So you're working here for $12 an hour. Eight months later, you're outside sales. Where does it transition from there?
So they moved me to Tuscaloosa. I'm driving from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa every day. I have counts down there working for plumbers. And I have kids. My son's in middle school. Well, no, he's not in middle school. He's elementary, early, intermediate school playing football, and I coach him. And so I'm trying to figure out how to get home from Tuscaloosa every day by 6 o'clock to be out there to, you know, to be at a game, to coach, do all the things. I did it for... I guess I did it for 2 years.
Okay. So we're in 2013 at this point.
That's right. Courtney gets a job for a different builder that I knew. And she gets a really good job there. And part of the deal was that I would do their plumbing.
Meaning?
Because
the actual plumbing
part. Yeah. I was going to open a business.
So let's go back. So you're working at Ferguson. She gets a job for a builder. What is she doing for this builder?
She's our purchasing manager.
Okay, so then.
Really a conflict of interest. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
So how did it come about again? I don't understand.
It's long. That's a really long story. But this guy was a builder that worked for another builder. And he went on his own.
Correct.
And he's building houses. He needs somebody that can set up his office, run his POs. Do all the things.
And Courtney.
He hired Courtney.
Okay, great.
And me and Courtney both said, if she'll leave the job she's got to go to this, if you will let Kip do the plumbing.
Okay. So, why did you want to do that? Were you not satisfied working in outside sales for Ferguson?
No, I was. I wasn't satisfied. No, because I was getting screamed at every day by these plumbers, and it was just a really stressful job, and it wasn't worth the reward to me.
Yeah,
and I wanted to be flexible and be with my family.
Absolutely.
So, turned in my notice, said I'm going back into business, and worked it out with Ferguson. Worked out my notice and started a business again.
So you started doing plumbing for this guy that was being a builder. So did you work for him or did you start?
No,
the business.
I started the business. I had no income. We had like $20,000, I think, that we got when her father passed away.
Okay.
It was in the bank account. And we were like, okay, well, we're going to use this to get started. So.
When you say get started, what did you go do?
I had to buy a truck, had to buy tools, had to, I had to get incorporated. I had to buy, workman's comp, general liability, that's a $2,000 down payment, just all the different little things that I needed to get started. Of course, that $20,000 was gone in about
10 minutes.
Yeah, it was gone.
So you get started, you start doing working, and your first jobs are for this builder.
Mm-hmm. I did one job.
For him?
Yep, and my intestines ruptured because I have Crohn's disease.
So this is 2013.
Yep,
you start
still
to start
in 2013.
Business. Talk about I didn't know this either.
Yeah.
So your intestines ruptured.
Yes. The Crohn's disease is an autoimmune. My body is telling my intestines is screaming for my body for antibiotics or whatever. Anyway, it wears the lining out in your intestine and it ruptured. I was at the pool, thought I had to go to the bathroom, go home. Next thing you know, I got 105 temperature. I'm in the emergency room. They're cutting my stomach open.
So they take out some of your intestines.
Yep. And so I'm in the hospital. I spent 12 days in the hospital. Then I couldn't work, obviously, because I had a cut from here to here for about a month and a half. But I had hired my, you know, we had a job, and my nephew and another guy that I had hired, they held on, man. We talked on the phone, whatever we could do to get by.
Wow. So you start a new business, you do one job, you get sick, got to go to the hospital, you're in the hospital for a month.
Mm-hmm.
You get another job. So where does it progress from there? You get out of the hospital, how does it go?
It goes from bad to worse. I mean, it just it's almost a repeat of what I did in the first time. And, long story short, 2016, we're not in bad trouble, but we're in debt again a little bit. And I'm like, what am I doing? My wife's like, if you don't get your crap together, we're going to close that plumbing company and you're going to take a job doing whatever. So it changed. So how does it change?
Yeah, okay, so we do that. You do this twice.
But I didn't. This bank. This it didn't fail.
I know, but like what I'm saying is, you go from 2003 to 2008, surviving 2008, which is a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm. From 2008 to 2011, filed bankruptcy in 2011. You go work for Ferguson, and then you start another business in 2013, and then in 2016, you're back in bad debt again. Were you running the business in 2013 like you did in 2008?
Yep.
That's all I know. Okay. Now, is Freddie working for you or with you?
Off and on.
He's getting older.
Yeah, he was working. At this time, he really wasn't working for me very much. He was off and on.
Okay. All right, so 2016, you're in bad debt. What happens?
Podcast. That's what happens. I'm riding down the road, depressed. Pull over. I'm looking for something to encourage me.
Really?
Yeah. So I've been, I've listened to Joe Rogan and all. I was like, I don't need that crap. I need something to help me fix my business.
Yeah.
Fix my game plan. What am I doing wrong? So I think I told you this. Somebody told me, hey, you need to listen to Profit First.
How many times has that come up? Yeah, I did. I remember that.
So I listened to Profit First. I think I listened to the whole entire podcast sitting in a parking lot somewhere. Just couldn't drive. Probably was in tears, just at the end of my rope. So listened to it, and then I started getting infatuated with podcasts.
Okay. So let's go back. So Mike Malkovich wrote Profit First. I've talked about Profit First so many times.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked about it on some of the podcasts. It's old. Profit First is not like a new thing.
That's right.
I was doing it 2013, 2014 when we were starting, and it just works for us. We still do it, and we do it today. I do it every week. There's a process I go through every week.
Yep.
So tell me about how that kind of shift. What happened there?
So I owed the supply house money. We were barely making. I'm like, I listened to this thing, and I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. But I did. I said, I don't care. So I got a check. I wasn't making profit. So, the idea is you know what your profit is and you put it back.
Put it away, yeah.
Well, I didn't know what my profit is. Well, I want my profit to be 10%.
Okay.
I just started with something.
Yeah.
So I got a check and I put 10% in a money market. And I did it the next week. And I never touched it. And I did it the next week.
So you took 10% off the top
and
just put it in another account.
Yep.
That's step one of what you did.
You have to put it in another account. It's actually even probably better if you put it in another bank account in
another
different bank.
Yes, I did that for a while.
Yep. The reason why is that your business is always starving for money.
Yeah.
And there is always something your business needs.
Sure.
And if you look in your bank account, and I'll use plumbing world. If you had to go rent a jackhammer that day, and there's one sitting there for $1,200, and you got $1,200 in your bank account, I'm gonna get that jackhammer today.
Mm. Yeah.
And you'll always spend all your money every time. I don't know why. It's just discipline.
Sure.
Well, it became a game.
Tell me about that.
I mean, within a month, I had $20,000 put back in that account, you know, and I'm like, holy moly, I haven't missed anything. Within 6 months, I went from 60 days past due with every account to current.
How did
I do that?
One podcast, Mike Malkowitz, Profit mm-hmm. First, helped you do that.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen? I don't know, because I was actually had less money to work with because I was putting 10% back.
Sure.
But because I was putting 10% back, I was budgeting and I was paying attention to my money. Mm. And then I did loan myself from that account, but I always paid interest on the money that I loaned myself.
Wow.
So if I took $15,000 out, I paid back $17,000, $20,000, whatever. You know, yeah. We just made numbers up. No, we didn't have rhyme or reason. Still don't have rhyme. I don't have rhyme or reason anymore.
Right.
But I still have that same account.
You do it every week still?
Every time we get a check.
We take something off the top.
Sometimes we don't, but at least every week I put money back into that money market account.
Wow.
I want to say something else about money markets. If you're a business owner and you have a money market, talk to your bank.
Okay.
We had a significant amount of money sitting in a money market, and I was at another bank.
When you say significant, what do you give me a number?
Over $500,000.
Holy hell.
Okay. In a money market. Just sitting there.
I thought you were going to say $100,000. No. Okay.
No.
So you got $500,000 sitting in a money market account.
Yeah. So.
You said go to the bank.
I go to another bank to close out a loan on something that we had. I don't know. It was a personal loan. I think it was her boat, actually. Yeah. And I'm looking over there, and I see 5% money market on business account. And I'm like, what? And so I go to my bank, which was getting 1.5%. I've been there. That money's been there forever. And I said, hey, I'm about to move all this money over to this bank. And they're like, oh, well, all you had to do was ask, and they put it at 5%.
Are you kidding me?
So now I'm getting like checks every month for a couple $1,000s for interest instead of $100, you know, whatever. So that's something that I think everybody should always, you know, they're not going to tell you, but you need
to ask.
Just ask. Ask for it.
So in 2016, you listened to the podcast, mm-hmm. and you said that from that point on, you really got obsessed and like listening to. Mm-hmm. To more things that are positive. So tell me about that journey and kind of where it's gone from there.
From there, it's amazing when you go from if I pay my supply bill by the 10th of the month, I get a 2% discount.
It's a lot.
Yeah. My supply bill is $350,000 a month.
That's a lot. That 2% on that, it's a lot.
Yeah. If I pay it past 30 days, I pay 1.5% interest.
Extra. It's a 3.5% swing.
Yeah. So that just, all that stuff just starts compounding.
Yeah. You know? Especially when you talk about big numbers like that.
Yeah. At that time, I wasn't, though. Now, granted, I was, you know, our supply bill was $40,000 a month.
But still.
It was still, that helped grow to what we are.
So tell me about the growth. So you started doing this, setting this money back. Tell me about the growth and how it happened. How did it grow from 2016 to 2023? Fixed to be 2024 and where we're sitting now.
The money first, but then people. I just had really good people in my life.
Yeah.
I hired a really good, you know, I had my dad.
Yeah.
I'm never going to forget him. And he's first. You know, he's the backbone of everything that Capstone Plumbing is. But then, you know, we've got, you know, the guy that runs all my jobs to the office. I will say this. I better back up to my wife.
Yeah.
She is so detail-oriented. And when I got on track with the finances and she was able to put the details that she does, it was just like, you can imagine working in a world where a plumbing contractor probably is high all day. You know, most of them they're high all day. They don't turn invoices in. They don't know what's from what. Sure. Then you call these people up and they're professional.
Yeah.
And anyway, we just started getting work and.
You don't really have a method. Like, it's not like, hey, we did this and this and this.
No.
You got the finances right.
Mm-hmm. That's the secret. For me.
Making sure the financial part of it is correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, when did Courtney leave that a construction company start working for you at Capstone? Or working with you at Capstone, I should say.
2019-ish.
Okay, so y'all, you ran this business for 3 years. Mm-hmm. No, really. No, you started back in 13, and you ran it for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
2016 was the year that it really turned around.
That's when it turned.
And so from 2016 to 2019, mm-hmm. you saw growth in just business, number one, but then you also started silo. I like to say silo in finances mm-hmm. in different pockets and different accounts so that you could see exactly what you have. Like we do profit first, but like we do it with income tax, sales tax. I take mm-hmm. income tax out every week. I take sales tax out every week. I take profit out every week.
Mm-hmm.
And those are in separate accounts. And mm-hmm. I take my paycheck. I make the same every month. I don't take I make the same amount every month. Mm-hmm. And then I take an owner's pay is what I call it, but it's just my paycheck in essence. So I have income tax account mm-hmm. because if I have a $10,000 income tax bill or a $20,000 income tax bill and I have that much in my working capital account, I don't want to know that it's in my capital account.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my accountant, hey, if you got income tax, pay it out of the income tax bill. Hey, sales tax, pay it out of sales. Sales tax is easy because you know what your sales tax is at the end of every week. You right. take your jobs, you look at who is tax exempt, who wasn't. Here's the number. Put it in there and then it just gets paid. I do that every week. But the profit part is what's extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Because I put it in an account and leave it. I got to go buy a truck. I got to buy a van. I know I got money over here that I can pull $20,000, whatever the number is, to go buy that thing. Like we do vending machines. And if I need to go buy another vending machine, I've got a place where I can pull that, like what I call CapEx, like an unforeseen expense or unforeseen purchase, I can pull it out mm-hmm. and go buy that thing. So as you've grown it, and what made Courtney come back to work with you in 2019? What was the thing that made her want to do that?
Her job was kind of getting, she really wasn't happy with her job.
Yeah.
And we actually said we she would never work for me again. Mm-hmm. You know, we just did not want to go through what we went through in 2011
yeah.
ever again. But it just made sense.
Yeah.
I needed her. The girl that was helping me at the time quit.
Okay.
And Courtney wanted to get away from what she was doing to be home with the kids and mm-hmm. all the things that that the moms like to do. And so, anyway, it just worked out. And she started keeping my books again.
Wow. So she's doing the books. Mm-hmm. Is that what she does now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she runs the service department.
So tell me about what you guys do now. So we're in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what Capstone Plumbing looks like in 24. And I have another question that we talked about at Christmas mm-hmm. that I want to go into deeper. So yeah. tell me what it looks like here in 2024.
So we have like 30 guys
okay.
on the residential side. They're doing, you know, $500,000 a month in plumbing.
Okay.
And then I have, we started a service side. We only have one truck, two guys, and my wife.
The service side, that means house calls.
House calls, that's right.
Why did you start that?
Because by nature of being in the plumbing business, I get calls all the time. And
well, you did it for us twice. You've done it for us three times at my house.
Yes. And it really takes away from, you know, these guys are trying to do a job, a $5,000 job, and I pull them off to go do a $150 job. It doesn't make sense.
So you've got someone dedicated to doing service
yes,
stuff.
Yes, we do. And we're actually growing that. I predict by the end of next year we'll have 4 to 5 trucks.
On service. Wow.
Yeah.
So started back in 2013.
Not this year, next year.
Next year. Started back in 2013, 2020, into 2023. What will be give me a range of what that top line revenue would be close?
We're at $7 million. So, but wow. we did $8 million last year. So.
Okay. Now, you talked about this. We talked about this at Christmas.
Yeah.
There's two things I want to go into. So you said last year, in 2022, you did $8
million.
Mm-hmm. In 2023, you hit $7
million, mm-hmm.
but you made more money.
I made more money. Yeah. Bigger's not always better. I do know that. But, you know, sometimes you got some hard decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
I think Nick Saban says it all the time, you know, you got to make that hard decision or it's going to bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
And so we got rid of some people. We trimmed some fat. We started buying better, even better. I hired someone to do my purchasing.
So you got one human that does all the purchasing
yeah.
for you?
Yeah.
And why has that made a difference?
Well, because he's sitting there, he looks at every invoice, he looks at everything we buy, he negotiates prices for me. When I'm trying to, I've got to negotiate jobs. I got 30 something employees that I've got to be a psychologist for. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of things on my plate. So buying is, almost half of my business.
I guess so.
Somebody's eyes need to be on it every day. So, and we also stock our own material now. So we actually have like almost our own warehouse where everything that you could get at the supply house, we keep it there. That just keeps my guys from going and hanging out at the supply house. They can get it from my place and then
go
to work.
Now, where do you order that stuff from?
Five different places.
So you're just like we are. I mean, instead of going to the grocery store every day, you just order from a big distributor mm-hmm. and they send you PVC pipe or couplings or I don't even know what
they back trucks up and unload it at the dock.
18 wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Another thing we talked about the other day, and talk about this as much as you want or as little as you want. You had somebody come in and say they possibly wanted to buy your company.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that process because I'm fascinated with this process. Tell me how that went
down.
Well,
it didn't go very well because I'm not the right kind of company for them. They were looking to buy a service company.
Tell me how the process came about of them reaching out to you about buying.
I don't know how they did. They just called me. Somebody called me and was like, hey, man, I want to buy your company. Just let me tell you about my company. They're a company out of Montgomery. They're a huge company.
Huge plumbing company.
The electrical company.
Huge electrical company.
Yeah, and they want to be more diverse. So they're buying up plumbing companies. They're like a Southeastern type. They're a huge company.
Okay.
And I said, well, if you want to buy my company, you're not going to get it for $1 million,
sure.
If that's what you think.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not thinking that. And I was like, okay, well. What you thinking? And he said, well, we need to talk more. And by the time we got through talking, he was not as interested because of we were so high on the residential new construction.
Mm.
And my service company was such a small part of my revenue.
So he wanted someone to go fix toilets every day.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
That's why I'm opening a service company.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Is that what kind of put the fire underneath you to go start the service branch?
A little bit. I want something.
Were you thinking of it before?
I've always thought of it.
Yeah.
The reality, I always knew that was the only way I could sell a business would be if I had service involved. People don't, because my business is based on my relationship and right now with everybody, and if I go away, that business is going to go away. So
that's not good.
No, it's not good. And we talked about some of that cover thing too, and that's another reason why I promote within too to management type positions, so that they can learn to be me.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So how can you replicate yourself?
I can't, but
yeah,
I try. And it, you know, it takes different people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't necessarily want to sell one day because I don't know that decision. That decision has not been made.
Yeah.
I got three boys.
Yeah.
One of them might need to be a plumber. One of them might want to be a plumber.
Might want to be.
I hope it's not because he needs to be. I hope it's because he wants to be. And if that happens, then my retirement looks like Capstone's going to pay for me to go on, you know. If that doesn't happen, then I'm going to sell it.
Yeah.
At some point. Or I'm going to sell it to one of my guys that I brought up along the way.
So when was the last time you did any plumbing? We talked about this the other day. When was the last time you did any plumbing?
Like, I mean, you know, besides doing something around the house.
Yeah, business-wise.
I don't know. 2000, I don't. Every now and then, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I got in a ditch and helped somebody do something.
But for the most part, you don't plumb anymore. Yeah. You're owning the business. You're running the business. Like, tell me what you did this
morning. I haven't
done
anything plumbing-wise probably on a consistent basis since probably 2016.
What did you do this morning? What do you do when you go to work every morning? Because you said something about you got to work every morning. You got to do these things. What did you do?
I just go and I really just go and help make sure everybody gets out okay. Answer questions. You know, there may be a question on – this particular job, we can't find the specs for it. Where is it at? I can help find that. Somebody called in.
Yep.
This guy called in. How am I going to rearrange the schedule? Who's more important to take care of today? You know, who are we going to make mad? What are we going to do?
What's the hardest part about what you do?
People.
Give me an example.
Relationships with, I guess, the best part about what I do. Yep. Is people.
Yeah, that's right.
The worst part about I do is people.
It's people.
It is. It's every day is a different. It's a different problem. Mm-hmm. With a different person. There's a lot of feelings involved. We live in a society where feelings are you know, right there at the top. So dealing with that is really hard. Finding people that truly care about helping, you know, the business that they work for,
yeah,
succeed. You know, when I worked at Ferguson, maybe in the back of my mind I wanted my own plumbing business at some point, but when I was there every day I wanted Ferguson to win.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to find people that want, you know, for me, I want people that want Capstone to win.
Okay, are you open to hiring people, training and apprenticing them, and them going and starting their own thing? Is that something you would entertain? Because when you have someone that has a desire to go own their own thing, they sometimes got a little more nuts to them. They sometimes got a little more gumption to them, and they will work harder.
Yep.
Would you do that?
Yeah, if we could get more of them.
Really?
Yeah. There's a difference between somebody that thinks they want to run a business and somebody that really wants it.
Absolutely.
I've got a guy. Probably one of the best plumbers I ever had. He just left me last year.
Yeah.
We talk every day still. Well, not every day. I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
He thanks me every day for what I did, and I throw him work. You know?
Is he local?
Yeah.
You guys don't compete.
He lives out by you.
Does he really?
Yeah.
You guys don't compete, though?
No. No. He can't compete with me. He's got one man, you know.
Sure.
He can't do what
Were you pissed
do.
When he left?
Yeah.
I was. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, because he was so good, and he did it in such a short time, it wasn't fair to me. Mm. But it was fair. You know, he did. He told me when I hired him, he said, "I want to own my own plumbing."
He told you that on the front end.
Yeah,
I love it.
And
you did. You hired him anyway.
He was a block mason or something, a framer. I don't know. He did not do plumbing.
Okay.
In like 2 months, he's plumbing his own house. He was running a truck.
Sharp.
And just good. And I had to put a licensed plumber with him, but he was running that licensed plumber. He was just a go-getter.
Wow.
And you run into those. Not a lot of them out there. But
why did he come to you?
I just ran an ad in the paper, and I just got lucky, actually.
That's great.
Yeah, I got lucky on him.
What do you love about what you do?
I like changing lives.
How so? How's a plumber change lives?
Like, I changed that kid's
life.
You did,
yeah. That's good.
You know, and he calls me and thanks me for it. And I don't, that's my little self-gratification maybe.
No, that's good.
You know, whatever. I hire kids in high school that don't think they want to go to college.
Yeah.
And I give them a good job. I got a kid that started me when he was 15 years old.
You did.
He's 19 now. He graduated high school. Two days after he graduated high school, he's making like $45,000 a year. Wow. Got his journeyman card a couple of months later, running a truck. And he's been running a truck for me for a little while. I was afraid I was going to lose him quick, but he's been reassuring me lately that he don't want to do this on his own yet. He's actually getting married.
Yeah.
Those are proud moments for me, you know, to see a kid move through. Because I know that kid is going to make my business – but I do plumbing better. Problem.
Absolutely.
Our problem is in the 80s and 90s, you had to go to college to do anything.
Yeah.
So my people my dad's age, they worked as plumbers, electricians, whatever. The 80s and 90s, people my age, few and far between. So now you don't have good people with, you know, experience.
Yeah.
So I'm having to go train people from scratch. And they work out sometimes because of maturity.
Yeah.
You know, they come in, they work hard for a little while. That you know, they figure out that they can do TikToks for and make money, and they go do that for a while. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to give up on trying to get new kids in there and continue to grow it, because we got to keep our, you know, we don't want poo-poo in our drinking water.
Nope, we don't.
And we want cold water. We want hot showers.
That's right.
You know, you just go a day without a hot shower, you know, go, you probably enjoy it, but you're crazy. You know, you like the cold water.
I do.
But mama ain't going to like it long. You know?
How much do you think the way kids work is attributed to the way their parents raised them?
100%.
You think it's all based off of that?
Yeah. Yes. I really do. And I will say this. The younger generation my experience right now, the 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids are, I hate to say this out loud, better than the 25 through 35.
Why?
I don't know. I can't. It's like the 25 through 35, they're like, they're just stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, they are what they are.
Yeah.
And then, but these younger kids, I don't think they're ashamed to be a plumber now.
Yeah.
Like I was. I don't think that you know, I don't think there's kids calling them butt crack plumbers, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, making fun of them. So they seem to be working. We're starting to work again.
I think that when we were kids, I'm a little younger than you, over not much. I think that when we were kids, it was not looked upon as a business owner was not looked upon as being a great thing.
Right.
But now the word entrepreneurship and the word business owner has a little bit of a shine to it.
Yeah.
And I think no matter if you own an HVAC company or a plumbing company or a catering company or whatever, you're kind of viewed differently.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much money you make,
yep.
I think you're viewed differently. And I think that may be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you ask my daughter, Jonna, who's 15, she wants to sing. I got no problem with that. Tegan, don't really know what it, but I just know that Tegan has 14 different business ideas that he wants to do.
Yeah.
George is 8, she don't know what she wants to do yet. But like, Tegan, I think, sees what we do.
Yep.
And he sees that he wants to own his own business. What's the best part about owning your own business?
That's the people. Yeah. I always say that. I had the best compliment I've ever had about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I met a guy at church.
Yeah.
I didn't meet him. He goes to our,
where do you go to church?
You caught me off guard now.
That's fine.
We just switched.
Over in Helena?
The station.
The station?
Yeah. We used to go to Church of Highlands. We started going to the station. Nothing against the Church of Highlands. Just a little too crowded for me.
Sure.
And I had more people that I knew were going to the station, and it was closer and a little easier to get in and out. And it was a lot like the Highlands, so I was just like, all right, I'm just going to go here.
So we'll get back to the best compliment you've gotten. Mm-hmm. So the station.
Yeah.
Randy Norris.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important people in my life. He was my youth pastor in high school.
Oh, wow.
Randy Norris and I are extremely close, even after 20-something years. One of the most top five or six most important people in my life. Had it not been for him, I don't know where I would be.
That's awesome.
And so him, and then Jason. Do you know Jason and Courtney Beam? They go there.
I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of people.
You need to go up to Randy Sunday
mm-hmm.
and tell him that you and I know each other.
Okay, I will.
He and I are extremely great friends. And don't talk as much anymore, but he is incredibly important.
So, okay.
But it's a great – he's absolutely wonderful. You're in a great place. All right, so the biggest, best compliment you got
– tell me about this. There was another Helena person there, guy, and actually I needed to talk to him about giving a gift to some kids that needed a gift or whatever, and we were going to do it together. So, hey, man, are you interested in doing this? And we started talking, and he was like, you know, he came out and he just basically said, hey – do you hire kids? And I'm like, yeah, I hire kids or whatever. And he says, well, my son said, told me the other day, when I grow up, I want to be Kip Hale.
Are you freaking kidding
and
me?
And I was like, what? Why would anybody want to be me? And he said, what he don't understand is he sees what I am now. He don't understand what I had to do to get there.
Yeah.
But I said, man, that's great. And I said, you tell that kid when he's ready to come work, come work.
Did he say why? What did it say? Ask
I think,
him why?
I think he sees the success that we've had now,
sure.
You know. And I think that's what as a young kid he's seeing.
Yeah.
But just to be in somebody's mind like that,
yeah.
And just to know that I might get a chance to touch him.
Man. Tell me about this. We asked this question the other day. So you're doing seven, you know, going to do $7 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for marketing?
Nothing. I got
bonkers.
I got signs on my trucks.
Yeah.
The only marketing I pay for is the stuff that I donate to the high school.
So you do a lot for the high school?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Man. And that's about it, really. You know,
no Google, no Facebook, no none of that stuff.
No, not even for the service company. They stay busy.
That's incredible.
They, you know,
it just goes to show you if you do a good job and do a good job long enough,
mm-hmm.
people are going to figure out who you are. Especially in a service, like there are a handful of businesses that we're always going to need. We're always going to need a plumber. We're
mm-hmm.
always going to need an electrician. We're always going to need HVAC. We're always going to need people to cut our grass. We're mm-hmm. always going to need those things.
That's right.
And so it's never going to go out of style.
That's right.
So that's a pretty big testament. Let me ask you this. What would you tell a young business owner? What advice would you give to a young business owner right now? No matter what the business is, what advice would you give to business owner?
The first thing I would say is you need to listen to profit first, and you
wow.
need to follow it. That's the first thing I would say.
That's good.
You know, you need to listen to profit first, and you need to follow it.
That's wonderful.
And then from there, you know, you got to lead. You got to be a leader.
Yeah.
You got to lead with your heart, you know, but you also got to make some tough decisions. But if you'll do profit first, I feel like, you know, have a plan, a good service.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
That's powerful. Well, so you talked about back in 2016, 2017, you started listening to the podcast. And so you got your toe in the water of someone wanting to buy the business. So you started the service part. What are you working on? Personally, everybody's got some. Most business owners have something they're working on
yeah.
right now. What are you working on right now?
So we're diversifying.
Okay.
I just hired three people to do commercial plumbing, which is restaurants, churches, buildings, whatever.
Okay.
So I have a full-time estimator, full-time project manager, and another part-time estimator who's actually training. He's retired. A friend of my dad. He's been doing the commercial part for years. He is training us that world.
So I love that. So you hired an old, I say it, say old guy, old guy to kind of teach you how, yeah, what
my dad's best friend.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So my dad's
that's
best friend.
That's so wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wise.
Yep.
Okay, good.
So
you're working on diversify. So you got the commercial part. You're still doing the contract part with the new builds,
mm-hmm.
but then you're also the service.
The service.
Part. So you're really putting your foot on the gas as far as diversifying and growing.
Yeah, I'm confused. Every day I come to work and I'm like, oh, which way do I go?
So somebody that's bringing in, you know, close to $7 million, there's got to be margin there. There's got to be, you know, pretty good bottom line there. What do you do outside of your business to invest?
Well, I've been a little up until like the last 2 years, I've been a little afraid to invest because I've been like just, I'm like pack rat hoarding, you know, hiding
cash.
Yeah, because, you know, one rule, once I started getting a little bit there, I was like, all right, I will never be in a position where somebody can shut me down. You know,
that's
so
good.
If we pay $450,000 a month in bills, there better be $450,000 somewhere. It better it's not my accounts receivables don't count. That's not, I don't have that money.
I agree.
You know, that's just money that's owed to me, but I don't have it.
You got it.
And Johnny wants his paycheck.
Sure.
And the supply house wants its bills. And anyway, but recently I started doing some investments, you know, like I hired somebody to do stock market stuff.
Good.
just because I don't know anything about it. And I said, look, man, here's a little bit of money. I want you to try to make some money with it.
Perfect. So you're doing that. Anything else?
Not really. I want to do a little more real estate. Yeah. You know, we built a lake house. Yeah. I've got some really good equity in that. We built it all ourselves. So a lot of hard work, pain in the butt, but.
Have you enjoyed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't as much as this year because of my oldest son with all the recruiting visits and everything. Yeah. We missed a lot of summer weekends, but
you got a lot of years ahead of you, though.
I got a lot of years ahead of me, and
he'll bring his college buddies. That's for darn sure.
And that's what we did it for. You know, we did it for our kids to anytime we can steal a moment of their time. Yeah. You know, and it's so weird because you grow up, they grow up little, and you're with them all the time, and then now we're just begging for a moment. You know, my son came down on my birthday, 50th birthday. I didn't talk to him all day.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the couch watching TV. And he came down, and he hugged my neck, and he said, I just want to tell you happy birthday in person, not on text.
Man.
I about teared up.
Yeah.
And I'm about to tear up right now.
Yeah.
And he sat down, and the best present he gave me, he sat there for 45 minutes and talked to me about his future. And to me, that's what I do all this for.
Wow.
For them.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's good.
I got to calm down.
It's okay. It's okay. So we'll cut right here. Luke, where do we need to go from here? Anything else that I'm missing as far as any of this stuff is concerned? I want to ask my questions at the end that I always ask. But in this point, this is like we're a little long as far as our conversation is concerned. But like let's go conversational. Let's think of sitting around the pool at the house. Like, what questions you have for me, anything like that?
Yeah, well, Courtney told me you bought a wedding venue. Tell me about that.
I did. So we didn't buy a wedding venue. We bought a wedding planning business. So the lady in Costa Rica who owned a wedding planning business in Costa Rica for 20 years, wanted to get out, wanted to do more PR. She's got another business. And we bought that business from her.
Hmm.
I called a friend of mine yesterday because I was a little discouraged because the business is not just cash flowing like it should, and I'm gonna have to inject a little bit more money into it. But I've only had it for 4 months, so we plan weddings for destination weddings for people all over the country and all over Canada, or really anywhere from the world that want to go to Costa Rica. We've got a bunch of different places down in Costa Rica that we work with that we supply all the planning for those weddings, and we've done two weddings so far, and it's been really, really cool. One of the girls. It's funny, we're not doing many weddings for 22-year-old college graduates. We're doing a lot of weddings for older people that are getting married a second time, or just people that are, you know, having someone died or whatever. Like we did one for a couple in their 50s and 60s. And she called and left a message the other day, or told Emily, our president of planning. She said, everything was absolutely wonderful, and I cannot thank you enough, and I will tell everybody that I can about how awesome you guys did. And that was incredible because I know Emily worked her little butt off on trying to make this thing the best experience as possible. So we bought that about 4 or 5 months ago, and just buying a business in general is a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot more time, because you've got to sit on things. You got to think through things, and it took a while, but it's been really, really good. So
MilFit.
Yeah,
that's you.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, I was went to Hunter's surgery the other day, and I'm sitting in the lobby, and I went to get something to eat at the vending machine because I've been there for 4 hours, and there it was, MilFit. There you are.
Yeah.
So I go back, and I was like, Courtney, you know, they got a MilFit thing over there if you want something to eat.
Yeah.
You know? And she told me that you're not doing meal prep anymore.
We're not. We got away from meal prep. There's another company in town that does such a good job with it, Fit Five. They do a great job. And then also there's so many people online that are shipping things to your home. And the margins on meal prep are very, very thin. And so if you have a couple bad weeks, you're losing money. And I go with the Warren Buffett rule. Rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, refer to rule number one.
Yeah.
Like I just hate doing things and losing actual money. So we got rid of that, and we started doing the vending machines about a year and a half ago. And the vending machines are, we got them two different hospitals, a bunch of different like businesses that have over 100 people. And Kip, it's been awesome.
Really?
here's the thing. A hospital is open 24 hours a day
mm-hmm.
for various and sundry reasons. You got to have nurses there. You got to have administration there. And then during the day, we're a sick – this sounds awful, but we're a sick country.
Mm-hmm.
People are living in hospitals, whether it be from surgeries, whether it be from just chronic diseases and things like that. So I know that there's going to be people there all the time, and so I love having an audience that's there all the time. And a lot of times these cafeterias and food services portions of these hospitals, they shut down at 1 o'clock. So I was over at one of the hospitals. It was like 1:30. And I looked up, and the cafeteria was shut down. And all they had to eat
was crackers.
And I thought, this is good. So we're in a handful of hospitals, and it's been really, really good for us. So
good.
It's been good. Margins are good, not great, but it's extremely consistent, and I know they're always going to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know y'all do a good job.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I actually hired them to do Helena football.
We did a bunch for the football team.
And kids loved it.
Yep.
Parents loved it. I loved it. It was good food for them.
Awesome.
And everybody just raved about it. This is the only time the kids hate pregame meal. And then when we started doing that, they're like, are you going to do it again?
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, I coached college football for 10 years. And so I know what these kids need. They need to be eating, number one. And I know what they want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can combine what they need to with what they want to, it's a pretty good combination. And so it just helps having someone that's done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a lot of that. We did that for a lot for UAB. We did that a lot for y'all. We did that for a lot for a couple other teams. But I really, really enjoy that part of what we do, for sure.
Yeah. So I hope you get to feed my son a lot.
And we will. We do. We feed them a pretty good bit. So
yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so let's talk. So have a handful of questions here at the end.
All right.
Your kids – okay, we take Hunter out of it. Hunter's your oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Your twins. You said they're 14, 15?
They're 14.
14 years old. What's your go-to activity with them? Like, if you got something, hey, let's go do this. What is it?
Well, fishing.
Perfect.
So, Connor is a big fisherman.
Okay.
He's on the bass team, actually. So.
Is he really?
Yeah. We go fishing. We actually went fishing Sunday.
In
the cold, wind, whatever.
He didn't care.
Caught 8 fish in 2 hours and... some big ones, and he was like, oh, it was the best time in life.
That's so perfect. So you kind of touched on this earlier. What are you really focused on learning right now? Like, we've always got things that we're learning. What are you focused on trying to be better at right now?
I'm a little focused on myself, honestly.
Totally fine.
I had a meeting last year at the office. First time I ever had a meeting, and it was negative.
Mm.
And after we walked away from the meeting, a couple days later, so-and-so wasn't talking to me. And I started asking around. They're like, I don't know. Ever since that meeting, he's pissed. Come to find out, I said something in the meeting that pissed him off. And so I had to go and talk to him, whatever, fix that. So that just made me really with the responsibility that I like to say I have of affecting people.
Yeah.
The words that come out of my mouth, I'm trying to hone in on making sure that they're productive.
Yeah.
Not counterproductive.
Sure.
Sometimes the hard thing needs to be said, but
absolutely.
But it's got to be done productively.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, when I said something that made this guy mad, so I'm working a lot on me. I'm really focused on me right now, being a better overall boss.
Yeah.
Managing my guys better, helping my manager be a better manager, and in that part.
Being super aware of that is incredibly important. Let's go back to family. What is your favorite vacation that y'all have ever taken?
I don't know. So I can't really, I don't know. We took a trip to the Dominican. That was pretty fun. We went with 3 families on that, though.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a really fun trip. And, man, I don't know. The lake house messes up that vacation because we have so much fun.
So much fun
at the lake house. I don't know. We go to Gatlinburg every year. We usually go to the beach. Last beach trip was pretty good. We rented up. We splurged a little bit. We rented a really fantastic house and had our family, and everybody brought friends. And we were on the bay across from the beach. We could fish, we could beach.
Do it all.
We could do it all. We had ping pong tables, pool tables, our own swimming pool.
That's awesome.
So that was probably this last summer. That beach house trip was probably one of my favorites.
So what is your favorite vacation that you've never taken?
I don't know. I haven't been to Hawaii.
Okay.
And I want to do that. All right. I kind of want to go to Alaska. You know, and yeah. I want to go. Honestly, I want to go to the Colorado. I don't want to ski. I think I'm a little past that.
Yeah.
I don't think my bones will take it. But I do want to go up there and see the mountains, see the snow.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell me about what's the best book you've ever read?
I don't know.
Not a reader?
Not a reader. In the Marines, when I was on boats, I would read, but I wasn't reading for knowledge. I was reading for entertainment.
Fiction.
You know, Stephen King books and the the lawyer from Mississippi, I can't remember his name.
James Patterson.
Grisham.
John Grisham.
Yeah, I read all of his books when I was in the military. I loved all those books.
Yeah.
Not a big reader. I have a reading problem, probably. Mm. You know, it's so funny. I can read a paragraph and not know what it says, but then I can read AL.com about Alabama football, and I can tell you every minute, everything that was in it.
Wow.
It's probably an attention
problem. Sure, absolutely.
So.
All right, so
I do my reading through podcasts and listening and stuff like that.
What's your favorite podcast? Still Profit First?
Oh, 100%. I still look for it. Sometimes I can't find it. You know? And I'll be honest with you. I listen to some Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe's great. You know, he is very, very good. I love listening to him. He has a ton of knowledge on just about everything.
Yeah.
So I love listening to him.
Anytime I'm going through something, if I'm going through, you know, a phase where I want to eat right, you know, I'll start listening to people that eat right and their thoughts and theories or whatever.
Yeah.
But I like Joe Rogan. I don't have a favorite one.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, so there's a plumber out there somewhere
mm-hmm.
that has heard this. There's somebody out there that thinks about this. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, either just to talk to you about business, to get some advice, just to pick your brain, or they need plumbing here in Birmingham, where does someone need to go to find you?
Just call our. They would call our number. We have a website,
yep.
capstoneplumbing.net.
Okay.
You can message us on that, or you can call the 205-434-7224 number. We'll answer that.
Perfect.
Text it. If they don't answer, text. We always answer somehow.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, definitely open to talking to anybody anytime.
Are you on social media at all?
We have a Facebook site, I believe. Yeah. Courtney
so not really.
I don't really like social media.
No,
so,
that's good.
You know, I mean, just to be honest, they do a lot of there's a lot of hard critiquing going on social media. You know, every price is too high and everything's a arm and a leg, and mm-hmm. you know, it's tough.
Well, you guys are doing pretty good without it, so that's a good thing. So,
yep.
Hey, look, thank you so much. There's a lot of good things in here. That I know that people will be encouraged with, but I think there's a lot here that people can learn from too. So I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.